Chlorotoxin, I'm telling you, dude, this is going to be the next shit. By the way, I have I know there's only a few guys in the world who can milk scorpions properly.
I'm going to order a couple of dozen scorpions for the house.
Make sure it's blue scorpion.
Welcome to the Spartan Up podcast with Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan Race.
We are talking about overcoming obstacles. The same way we teach people to get over obstacles on the course, we will teach you here on the Spartan Up podcast to get over obstacles in your mind.
Get your notebook out, because today, Joe is going to geek out with functional medicine clinician Bryce Wild. From blue scorpion venom and Spartan tea to vitamin D and echinacea, Bryce shares evidence-based tips and information that are part biohack, part nutrition, and part plain old biology.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Orgain, clean nutrition to help you stay healthy, active, and feeling your best. New subscribers save 30% at orgain.com/pages/Spartan.
You're a functional medicine guru? What do we call you?
Thanks for having me, Joe. Yeah, functional medicine. So, you know, it used to be revered as alternative. Don't like the term, but about 20 years ago when I started clinical practice, that's what I was given. In terms of a name as per what I practice. You know, fast forward 10 years, they called it complementary alternative, which was, you know, sort of an integration of what I do and use with my patients, natural medicine, herbal vitamins, minerals, orthomolecular. We can get into all this stuff, but complementary alternative medicine. Now we refer to this as functional. We've grown up. We're actually using the combination of conventional practices revered. I hold mainstream conventional medicine in high regard. Some aspects of it, not all, I can qualify that too. But now we're revered as functional medicine, the blending of best both worlds, the West, the East, conventional and traditional. And this is what we've ended up with. And I love it. It's functional. It works. It's the best medicine, Joe.
How come there's such resistance to this? You know, my mom was into functional medicine, whatever they called it back in the 70s. She was definitely crunchy to the hippie-ish. Vegan, food combining, don't take antibiotics. I mean, go down the list, and everybody shunned her, including my sister and I, her whole family. Why are we resistant to it when it, you know, you go to China? We lived over in Asia, my family, for a little while. Like, there's just a different way of thinking when it comes to health and wellness and medicine.
Well, it had to evolve. And so what I refer this, you know, affectionately as tree hugger medicine. My mom was exactly the same. What it lacked, two words, evidence-based. And now more and more are we getting the evidence that we need through human clinical trials, not just like my friend's cousin told me this herb works, or a buddy of mine brought this back from Italy, try it, you know. And so now it's really human clinical trials. And it's interesting, sort of in the realm of functional medicine, we're not just talking about herbs and vitamins and minerals and things that we might jack ourselves up with intravenously that come from nature. Once again, we're also talking about using the right amounts of different conventional drugs and maybe even off-label indications. So functional medicine really appreciates almost like biohacking with, you know, both pharmaceuticals and natural medicines and leveraging the hell out of laboratory sciences, right? So, I mean, I take blood, saliva, urine, whatever you can give me, and I look at genes, I look at your, you know, microbiome, I test your poop, I look at intracellular function. And I literally, with scientific evidence, biohack my patients into health.
I'm pumped because the world is coming our way, right? The world is more and more open to this way of thinking. What is there any truth to this? I'm hearing from a lot of people, you know, in traditional Western medicine, doctors don't learn much about the gut. They don't learn how to eat. They don't focus on nutrition. Is that accurate?
It's accurate. It's becoming you know, less accurate. So that sort of 4 hours of nutrition, that's all they get. Not so true, because a lot of doctors, and you can look this up, and your listeners, viewers can look this up, the Institute of Functional Medicine, by and large, they're not just naturopaths in my ilk. There are a lot of medical doctors joining and having continuing education. So into the dozens and even hundreds of hours, you know, postdoctoral work. So it's true that in the first, you know, 4 to 5 years of a pre, you know, specialty program, for example, you're not going to get much in nutrition. Certainly not going to get much of the idea around functional medicine. And as to your point there around the gut microbiome and how we're understanding that's like 80% of our immune system wrapped up in your gut, it's called GALT, or gut associated lymphoid tissue. unless you're a gastroenterologist and don't really study this, it doesn't come first to mind when you're giving a patient, if you're a medical doctor, conventional doctor, antibiotics, to think I should probably also give them some probiotics and maybe even some prebiotics. That's probably even a bigger story now than probiotics. But at the end of the day, you know, just take, for example, vitamin D. I mentioned I started in clinical practice over 20 years ago. Vitamin D used to be one of those things we were talking about. Maybe you want to get 500 IU in your diet. Then it went to thousands. Then the Council of Responsible Nutrition now says at least 4,000 IU, and certainly where I live, north of 40 degrees here, Toronto-born native, I need many thousands, and I know my vitamin D levels, I check my blood, I know my DNA, I know how much more I actually need. So I'm not saying everyone should do this, but every other day with a fatty meal, I'm taking 20,000 IU. Now, that may not be revered by conventional medicine as evidence-based because they don't want you to go too high, but when you check your blood regularly, it's called 25-OHD, then you know how much to take. I know how much to give my patients. I know about the genes. So here's the story, the picture I'm painting here is vitamin D, who cares, went to about 15 years ago. Yeah, it's probably a good idea. Then it went about 5 years ago to many thousands of IU. And now mainstream wants to, you know, they want to sort of piggyback on it. They want it. Vitamin D is now theirs. What I mean by that is now the science is so robust that they're claiming vitamin D in conventional practices as like standard medical care. I love it. I don't care. Take it. So, for example, the IMAS protocol, this is developed by Dr. Merrick and his team at the at the East Virginia Medical School. I stands for ivermectin. I think there's some pretty good promise there as it pertains to treating COVID. MASC stands for methicillin. It's a whole acronym, not the mask you wear on your face, but for treatment protocol. And then the plus stands for everything that I do, which I love. So they're giving you vitamin D, vitamin C at therapeutic doses. They're giving you quercetin. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's a bioflavonoid found very high in onions, for example, in brightly colored yellow and orange fruits and vegetables. They're giving you high-dose vitamin C, sometimes even intravenously. So there's this COVID protocol, and zinc, by the way, and melatonin. These are all, so here's the deal. Alternative is going mainstream, all right? Both from a public awareness level, but as well as a practice, a clinical level. So, full circle, man, we are no longer alternative. We are what's working.
I like that sentence a lot. Alternative's gone mainstream. Let's pick a couple of things. There's a lot to kind of unpack. If you're a consumer and you're starting to finally open your eyes up to this stuff, what do I eat? What do I take? Should I take vitamin D? Shouldn't I take vitamin D? Should I eat chia seeds? Shouldn't I eat chia seeds? There's probably four or five things that really make a difference.
You're right. There's so much to unpack, but let's do it. And one thing everyone gets wrong, by the way, is dose. Why would you ever take the same multi or ingredient X, Y, or Z if you're a 120-pound female versus your 250-pound male? There is no one-size-fits-all. So beyond dose, personalization is, what are those five things that you need, right? And so I agree with you, like hyper-supplementation, trying to biohack your way through taking 50 different things, probably not the best idea or the smartest idea. So seeing somebody like me might be a good idea. If you don't have access to somebody like me, my hesitation of saying this is absolutely the top five things everyone should take is because that's kind of trendy. I will nonetheless, being that it's COVID and immunity is top of everyone's mind, I am happy to talk briefly around what's going to work for any cold, flu treatment, prevention, flu, influenza standard, and or COVID, by the way. Because here's the deal. A lot of folks, they get this wrong when they speak about functional medicine and natural medicine, when they talk about immune boosting. There are some minor arguments that you probably can, in some regards, in certain situations, boost, activity of the immune system. But you can't really boost your immune system, nor do you necessarily want to. Certainly in the case of you have autoimmunity, like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus, that's the last thing you want to do. It's really, I think, the term to be used here is immunomodulation, which stands for balancing. I think a lot of us have depressed immune systems. And a lot of us have hyperactive immune system. A lot of us are stressed. And by the way, I don't mean just mental, emotional stress. If you're an endurance athlete, you are physically stressed. And when you're physically stressed, your immune system is depreciated. So to keep our immune systems modulated, to keep ourselves healthy, and leveraging even, by the way, some of the research I just mentioned that's come out of Eastern Virginia Medical School and the work of Dr. Merrick, let's talk about some of these really cool ingredients. So vitamin D, that's one of them. None of us, literally probably north of 30, get enough exposure to sun, even less so as it pertains to these COVID days. We're all hunkered down inside. 10 minutes in a bathing suit, okay? is the equivalent of converting vitamin D through the cholesterol and other mechanisms in your skin of about 15,000 IUs. You're going to tell me that by supplementing north of 4,000 IU a day, that it's dangerous? I say not. So I think everyone should get their levels checked, called 25-hydroxyvitamin D, OHD, with your doctor. It takes my patients on, I'm seeing about 80%, by the way, deficiency states, not low normal, deficiency in vitamin D, okay? Then it takes months to get their vitamin D levels up in many thousands of IU higher than what the Council of Responsible Nutrition is saying. So that's number one. I think there's some really cool things that are now surfacing with evidence. One of them that I've just come to, well, I say just in the last couple of years, come to appreciate, this is a lot of research that's come out of Australia, actually, you know, millions of dollars in research, is this ingredient called glycine, or gamma-glutamyl cysteine, but it's sort of condensed for ease of use, you know, referring to basically glutathione. You've heard of glutathione before, right? It's a natural, you make it on your own. It's a natural detoxifier. And, you know, a lot of us, most of us, in fact, don't make enough of this. And I know this, why? Because I actually, among other things, I check genetics for the whole superfamily of glutathione S transferase genes. But not just the gene mutation, something called copy number variations. What this means is you're supposed to get a copy of this gene called GSTT1 from both mom and dad. And a lot of us are null variants. And what that means is we don't actually have the information as much as we should to make glutathione. So what glutathione is, it's actually referred to as the master antioxidant. So not only is it for detoxification, which you'll be happy to learn and your listeners, everyone does every single day, but many of us not enough. And that's responsible to get rid of cellular debris. It's responsible to, you know, turn over to protect your brain cells, your liver cells, every cell in your body, slow down aging, but most importantly for recovery. If you don't have enough glutathione, you don't recover from, you know, the injury that we succumb to, as I'm a runner and I know you are, and an endurance athlete, with, you know, post-endurance exercise when you're training or you're competing in an event. So now taking glutathione, this is a $500 billion industry, glutathione exclusively, okay? So hear me for a second. It doesn't work when you take it. When you take glutathione or even the precursors like N-acetylcysteine, selenium, we've heard of that, and alpha-lipoic acid, these are three building blocks your body needs, and they're great for other things. But it doesn't take those and effectively increase your intracellular glutathione levels. Why? Even if you inject it, by the way, it might be having some benefit outside of the cells, but inside the cells, again, regardless as to your genetics, you're actually, it's called the ionic gradient, you've got thousands of times more of glutathione in there, protecting your mitochondria and doing other things to sweep up cellular debris. Otherwise, you'd be dead. You have thousands of times more in your cells versus outside of your cells. And so when you take supplemental glutathione or any of its precursors, all you're doing is you're building up extracellular glutathione because it's not getting in due to that ionic gradient, right? It's just how cells work. They're not going to let something in that it already has a lot of inside. So these researchers developed glycine, this gamma-glutamyl cysteine, and the cells love it. The cells eat it up. So now this glycine, when it gets inside the cell, what does it do? The first thing, boom, turns into glutathione. So glycine works to increase intracellular glutathione beyond homeostasis. And that's a word we should all be familiar with because, again, that means balance, right? It's a Greek term. Homeostasis means sort of consistent balance. And so your body doesn't want to go out of balance. And that's sort of, you know, back full circle, this idea of boosting the immune system. You don't want to hyperstimulate it, and certainly not at all times and for too long. So glycine, that's number two. Number three, especially during these times, man, echinacea is back. I don't know if do you supplement with echinacea at all?
Yes, I've been, that's been around my house for a long, 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 long time.
So in, you know, BMC, they've just published this peer-reviewed, in the journal, a BMC journal, a in vitro, right? I want to make sure everyone understands that in vitro trial, but it's a proven trial that, and by the way, there are 30 other human clinical trials done on this type of echinacea, purpurea, a whole plant source, non-GMO, you know, extract. It's a Swiss extract. But in this case, they just, and it's called echinophores, by the way. In this case, they proved that echinophores in vitro kills COVID-19. So, I mean, now PPE and everyone wearing these masks, and, you know, this is just half the story. The other story is from the inside, right? What are we doing from the inside? That's what we're talking about right now. So taking echinacea purpurea, this echinophores, is probably protecting us from not only helping ramp up and modulate our immune systems, but protecting us from COVID. All right. Here's another one. And I know you love sort of like exotic things. I mean, I love the tea, by the way, that, you know, that the Spartan tea, it's iron wort. Love that. And you heard me say this already. It contains bioflavonoids. It contains, polyphenols. These are two really important ingredients for us right now. Because they help manage the immune system and certainly inflammation and help basically give us also more energy. So pigments is a really important thing to understand, like the pigment of a grape. This is why we now know about resveratrol and living longer, the pigments found in oranges and lemons. And these things just give us, they confer health benefit. But I know that you love really sort of cool exotic things. And so here's one for you. I'm totally into this. It's called chlorotoxin, and it's from blue scorpion venom. All right. This is incredibly anti-inflammatory, antiviral. It's used in, indicated, if anyone does the PubMed research, it's for solid tumors, particularly in the brain, helps to, kill solid tumors and by and large tag them in the brain. But what I use it for personally is energy, post-race recovery. And I use it for my antiviral protocol. So blue scorpion venom. And here's another favorite. You asked for five, so let's end off on five. Theanine, you know about theanine, it's an amino acid. You find this in green tea, all right? So green tea, it's not extracted. That's prohibitively expensive. So if you ever look at a product and you see theanine from green tea, it's actually bullshit because it's supposed to be a fermentation process, all right? So bacteria that actually make theanine. And there's only one out there that works, and it's in dozens and dozens of products, whether it's beverage or it's supplemental or tablets. And it's called sun theanine. And the reason I'm mentioning this this is like Intel inside. I'm the ingredients guy. Let me park that thought for a second. I travel the planet. I literally, beyond my clinical duties, I go all around the world, boots on the ground, in the manufacturing centers of those companies that make the raw materials that service the consumer-facing brands, okay? So I know my ingredients. I couldn't care less about the brands unless they're a control brand, which means they make it and put it to market. And there are a few of those. Actually, Akeniforce is an example. A. Vogel in Switzerland makes Akeniforce, which has recently been proven in vitro to kill COVID-19, among other things, colds and flu. And by the way, Health Canada, the most stringent in the planet. We have what's called the Natural Health Products Directorate here, and they assign NPN numbers. We're not like not looked at by the FDA on every supplement bottle. No, our government looks and they say, yeah, you can make that label claim structure function, or no, you can't. And so when you have an NPN number, it's gone through stringent either monographical or clinical evidence. And so that Echinacea has the only product in Canada, and I think the world, treats and prevents colds and flu on the product. And that's never been, even vitamin C doesn't have that, right? So anyways, super cool stuff. But I know my ingredients, and I always look at what's on the bottle, what's safe and effective, and of course, what's been proven. So sun theanine, which is manufactured by a company in Japan that I've actually visited myself, sun theanine works because it's been proven in 70 human clinical trials plus now to improve focus, attention, alertness, concentration, and sleep. What does it do? And I know you love this. It improves alpha wave. And we all need more of that, especially around this time. And alpha wave, of course, to remind your listeners, most of which I already know this, is that state of focused attention without being overstimulated. So we need more of that for coordination. We need more of that for race day. We need more of that just to calm the down, right? So because we're hyper, we're in this sympathetic mode, and this helps us to sort of bring that down a notch into parasympathetic mode, more relaxed. That's also going to help your immune system. By controlling cortisol, you're going to control a better, more modulated immune system.
And I love that you referenced the Spartan tea. I don't know if you know the story there, but I was in Sparta maybe 3 years ago, and I saw these guys picking the plant off the mountain way up above the city of Sparta. And I said, what is that? And they said, you don't know? And I said, no. Well, that's the tea that Hippocrates and Socrates would drink. That's the tea that the warriors would boil and then rub it on their cuts and bruises. And it translates from ancient Greek to English as he is of iron. I like to say he or she is of iron.
I love it. Yeah, no, it's actually we most commonly use the term iron wort. That's what we actually call it. So it's another name. Many herbs are given names based on, antiquity or, Latin or whatever. But I don't know if you knew this. Here's what your tea is doing. All right. There are a few active ingredients in there that have been studied to boost BDNF, or brain-derived neurotrophic factor. So what is that? That's neuroplasticity, because, of course, now we know that the brain's not static after, you know, school-age level like that. We used to think as of 13, that's it. The brain is the brain, and you get what you get, and from now on, it's slow, steady decline. Not true. The brain is both plastic, so there's a decoupling and recoupling. I know you know this because I know you've, and I love the podcast, and I watched Dr. Huberman, and I love him and neuroscience and all that. So I just wrote the book, Brain Spanners, Living a Longer Life, Healthiest with the your most, your highest level of mental faculty possible. So I've been deep into brain research recently. But so BDNF, and I do this genetic profile on patients looking at executive function, so their predisposition to mood, you know, behavior, and neuroplasticity, neurogenesis. That's the formation of new nerve cells, in particular in the hippocampus, the memory center. So your T, it's my belief that your T is boosting brain-derived neurotrophic factor. That means better memory, recall, better neuroplasticity for a healthier brain. And why do we want that, by the way, as runners, as endurance athletes? By the way, I was born to run, and that's why I'm wearing this T-shirt. I mean, I'm late to the game. I only started this, and we spoke off camera. I only started this in my early 30s. I think that's par for the course with a lot of endurance athletes. But my last name being Wild, I got to live up to my last name. So I've done all kinds of crazy stuff. Maybe we can talk about that. But at the end of the day, what we need as runners and endurance athletes is we need better focus, better coordination, better brain function. And that brain function is going to yield to better physical outcomes.
I mean, I couldn't have hired you. This is unbelievable that you're, you're out there pushing the reason I didn't have the details on the Spartan tea. I just got excited because if the warriors, the ancient warriors, were drinking it and using it, right? And Hippocrates and Socrates kind of knew their shit back then. But apparently Bryce Wild knows that tea is a big deal. Okay, question for you. I'm going to piss off some listeners and viewers.
We'll be right back to this interview. But first, I want to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor today, Orgain. Orgain has all kinds of products to fit a Spartan's active lifestyle. Nutrition shakes, protein powders, meal powders, bars, and even almond milk. Orgain products are food-based and full of organic vitamins and minerals that taste delicious and provide maximum nutrition. You can save 30%. Spartan Up listeners will save 30% on new subscriptions when they sign up at orgain.com/pages/Spartan. One more time, that's 30% off of new subscriptions for Spartan Up listeners if you go to orgain.com/pages/Spartan. Now back to the interview.
Question for you. I'm going to piss off some listeners and viewers, but like, we've got this hydration pill. The reason I was focused on hydration or electrolytes was over the last 21 years of putting on races, I would walk the course backwards and I would find, I'm not kidding you, it looks like World War II. I would find people laying on the side in the grass, their legs are locked, they're out of electrolytes. And some of them started carrying pickles, some of them were carrying packets of mustard. And I said, you know what, guys, we gotta come up with a solution here that is not, you don't need a blender, you don't have to carry a bunch of gel and packets and powders. I need a simple pill that people can take before they start racing that last 4 or 5 hours. And so, again, you and I didn't coordinate on this, so feel free to tell me I'm full of shit. It sucks, but we found medical grade electrolytes that get compressed that are slow release over 4 or 5 hours. And I've done a lot of running. You've done a lot of running. I just don't want to deal with carrying a bunch of stuff and having it. And my feeling is once you're, and again, disprove anything I'm saying, but once you're dehydrated, it's too late.
Absolutely. No, 100%. I'm a huge believer in it. I definitely pre-race insurance. By the way, days leading up, here's one thing I think a lot of, you know, endurance athletes and the science so far has not yet revealed. And I think that I've cracked the code somewhat. It's not all about electrolytes. That's a large percentage of the story, probably 70% of the story. And salt, by the way, this sort of negative, assumption on sodium chloride. I mean, that's just got to come back because I think we're actually under, salted. and I think that on top of an electrolyte and the way you train your body, this is a lot about the cell and the cell membrane and the cell's ability for ionic exchange under stress. And so a few things that it has to get right. One is the omega-3 index, all right? EPA and DHA has to be saturated in the cell membrane beyond 8% in order, and by the way, dolphins have 14, they eat a lot of fish. This is from fish oil or even vegan sources. It has to go beyond 8% in order to manage the influx and outflux of ions, which are electrolytes. And I think magnesium and I think, you know, calcium and sodium and chloride and potassium are obviously key for all this to be going on. But that if that membrane is not ideally intact with that saturation, I don't think that, you know, that you could be the healthiest, or you could think you're the healthiest of persons, and you can have the best, you know, electrolytes and the best gels and everything else for your race. But if you don't have that cellular membrane optimized, I'm sorry, you're not going to do well. And you're not going to know why. And then the other thing are the trace minerals. I mean, we're not just deficient in magnesium. We're deficient in boron and strontium and manganese, all right? Along with probably iodine. I mean, you know, this is the Great Lake effects we heard about, like where I live in Toronto next to Lake Ontario. This Great Lake effects issue, you know, hundreds of years ago is because we didn't have salt water and therefore we didn't get the iodine. So we had goiters. We walked around these massive thyroid goiters. So iodine is probably still pseudo deficient in many of us. So I think that's the big picture. But I love the idea that you're bringing back up, and you know, the often forgotten electrolytes. That's why ultimately you're going to seize up, cramp up, and or slow down.
Yeah, and then the last plug I'll give is we took Suntanine. We took your suggestion, right? The Suntanine. We took the Spartan tea, and then we took a whole green coffee plant, ground it up in a wood chopper, and put it in a pill. And again, I sound like a late night salesman, and I hate.
No, but here's the deal. So, and you know, knowing it or not, like, you know, so again, what if you're listening to this and you want a brain boost, which is going to ultimately feed back to your body, and this alpha wave, we've got to have this conversation if we can around heart rate variability, because I know a lot of athletes aren't maximizing that, and the heart sends more signals to the brain than the brain sends to the heart. Think about that for a second. So, but optimizing brain heart connectivity, just like gut-brain connectivity, we're learning a lot more about that, is what your product is going to do. And so Suntheanine on top of the ironwort, and you know, and on top of the whole idea, by the way, being BDNF upregulation, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, this is what the whole coffee fruit powder is doing. So there are three human trials around that. And this is the mesocarp, of course, along with the actual green coffee bean. And so you're going to get that naturally bound, slow-release caffeic acid and caffeine, a lot of these polyphenols, you know, a lot of the antioxidants that, you know, you hear a lot about in terms of not just managing you. By the way, in training, I want everyone to think about this and get this right as well. When you're doing weight-bearing activity, you're building up your quads, your QLs, your psoases, and all these different muscle groups, you don't want to take antioxidants before that, okay? Even including your tea. You want to take it afterwards for recovery. Otherwise, what you're, and by the way, at least an hour after, because what's happening to the myofiber? What's happening, you know, at the molecular level when the muscles are actually engaged in growth? They tear apart. So at the microscopic level, if you don't allow that to happen because you're feeding your system a high amount of antioxidants, then you're actually preventing in some way, not entirely, but you're dampening, let's call it, muscle growth. Antioxidants are for post exercise or endurance. So you want to take them before a long distance run to help you manage. In particular, by the way, that glycine. I mean, you know, folks are just studies, again, S plural, showed recovery time maximized and its absorption within 60 to 90 minutes. That's crazy. It's unheard of. You know, so
we have to figure out how to take the Spartan tea, mix it with the glycine. Is that right?
Yeah, the heat stability might be a problem if it's tea. You can certainly infuse your tea and then cool it down and then mix this and sip this all bloody day, which in my opinion, that would be the best. I mean, it's the Spartan tea cooled down with glycine, and you got a liquid winner. You don't want to, you know, have that at your desk side during training days.
You're basically saying you'd be able to finish a 100-mile run, drink some cooled down Spartan tea with glycine, and head out for another 100.
I mean, theoretically, I mean, in 60 to 90 minutes, it's getting into your cells where no other glutathione can do that. And what do you need? By the way, your brain also detoxifies at night. And that by taking this twice a day, it's called, you know, there's this product on the market called Continual G, and it's called Continual G. It's got glycine in it because it's supposed to work for you continuously, both day and night. So you take it morning and evening. At night, if you don't, if your brain doesn't properly detoxify, and one of the ways it does that, by the way, is sleep hygiene optimization. So really cool room, like 64 to 68 degrees. Okay, you want to be comfortable. A lot of people forget to change their mattress. You want to make sure it's ultra dark at night, and you want to make sure that you're sleeping at least 7 to 8 hours in that deep restful stage sleep. That's when your brain is going to turn on its glial cells. These are non-thinking cells. You've got just as many non-thinking cells as you have neurons that think. And these non-thinking cells called glial cells, which represent the glymphatic system. So you've heard of the lymphatic system. This is the lymph. There's no lymph in your brain. There's no space for lymph. So these cells have to sweep up the mess. To engage these little guys, you have to have sleep hygiene optimized, and you have to have optimal levels of glutathione. And that's the only way that I knew it supplementally. There's a lot of foods that can do this for you too and ramp up your levels a little bit. But when you have GSTT1 deficiencies, that's genetic, or GSTM1 or GSTP1 genetic issues, you're not making enough of it. I don't care how much garlic and onions you eat.
I knew it. I knew we needed more garlic and onions. You know, my wife thinks I'm nuts because with the children, I used to call them fireballs. And I would make the kids chew and eat. Imagine my little 4-year-old, 3-year-olds chewing and eating raw garlic.
Oh my God. So our kids have something in common. Not my son, but my daughter, who they're now 15. My son and my daughter's 13. But you know, she even does still partake in this. She goes to my supplement cupboard and she takes out 1% allicin garlic capsules and chews on these bloody things. I say, Zaya, what the hell are you? I can't be in the same room as her at that moment. But I mean, it's really helpful. What this does for your blood circulation. By the way, if you suffer from bloating, distension, and you've tried all kinds of diets, elimination, and done testing for sensitive, nothing's worked, look into the University of Monash and the research they've done there. This affects a lot of endurance athletes, and they can't figure it out, and they think, oh, it's all the running and jostling around, and some of that's true. You get post-run diarrhea and that kind of stuff. But FODMAP and the research done on these types of foods, I'm reminded by this because garlic and onions are very high in this category. They're healthy foods, but they cause a lot of people distension. So it's an acronym. It stands for fructooligosaccharides, oligosaccharides, disaccharides, and polyols. And so these are long-chain carbohydrates of different lengths that actually just cause some folks to have a poor response. So you look at these FODMAP groups and they're all healthy fruits and vegetables, et cetera. If it's a really high FODMAP, you want to maybe try a couple of weeks of eliminating that, including garlic and onions, and see if that, helps your gut. But on top of this issue of leaky gut or hyperpermeability, a lot of this is caused by, overeating gluten and dairy, and some people, have food sensitivities and or, inflammation. This is, by the way, at the cellular level, along with free radicals and oxidative stress. This is the cause of all disease, inflammation. There's a wonderful lab test anyone has access to called the chronic inflammation test. Now, this is looking at from the cell, the nucleus of the cell, all the way down through the COX-2 pathway and then thromboxane pathway. So it's like downstream inflammation. If you want to gauge your inflammatory levels, simple urine test. You can order this online, thechronicinflammationtest.com. Gauge those and then do whatever you... Drink more Spartan tea, that iron wort. Get more of that, the balance of those antioxidants, the quercetin into your system, very potent anti-inflammatory. The glycine, incredibly potent detoxifier and anti-inflammatory. But if you don't get the gut and certainly the brain-heart matrix, that trifecta corrected and balanced, you're essentially, you're never going to see your abilities, come to the level of, you're never going to see your maximum capabilities come to fruition. And I know I diverted and I went all over the place there, but at the end of the day, if you've got gut issues, you might want to look into FODMAP as it relates to an avoidance of otherwise healthy foods that you could see your bloating and distension literally go away within a week.
I love it. You're awesome. I'm sure you confused a bunch of people. But the good news is, I think we all understand there's a few things all of us can do. We certainly got to get some sleep, keep the room cold. What about cold showers? We got to take cold showers every once in a while.
Cold showers, that's just a start. In fact, I believe wholeheartedly that nothing is quite as impactful as that cryotherapy as the ice bath for post exercise endurance recovery. I think that is one of the most, and if it's a single limb or it's an injury, you know, and you can immerse, even lower that. Let's tie this in actually to, you know, even heart rate variability and the vagus nerve. There's something to cold immersion for a short period of time, so long as you know consciously you're able to get out of it and it's not dangerous, that engages the sympathetic system, that then engages through the vagus nerve, this huge nerve that's intertwined that goes, you know, from your brain, central brain, all the way through into your organ systems. When you can engage the vagus nerve and actually stimulate it, what happens within a few minutes after that stimulation is the opposite, called parasympathetic state. You heard of the term hormesis. I mean, this is the idea. Exercise is hormetic. It's dose-dependent responses to either ingested, you know, things and or exposures to environmental stresses at the right dose. Too little is not going to have an effect. Too much might kill you. But exercise is a great example of hormesis. So is, by the way, that blue scorpion venom I talked to you about. Just a little bit of that venom, not too much, it'll kill you, not too little to have no effect. But ice bathing and ice exposure cryotherapy is also hormetic. And when you do this, and even if it's a cold shower and I thump my chest for a couple of minutes and the top of the crown of your head and even your face, if you have no time at all, one way to engage hormetically the vagus nerve is just to splash freezing cold water on your face. And people have done that for millennia. For what reason? This. It engages the vagus nerve into parasympathetic state, which is reduction of your overall stress levels, which for hours thereafter has benefit and gets you into that alpha wave, just like the sun theanine, which is in now, you know, your tea. So people need that. And here's what else is happening. When I said the heart sends more signals to the brain than the brain to the heart, this is true for, you know, probably, you know, the East used to, the traditional Chinese medicine prophetically described this, but unscientifically at the time, that the heart is the seat of emotion. And they're probably right. Because when the heart is happy, it sends signals to the brain that you're not in distress and you're not in, you know, not in danger. Here's where a lot of runners get this wrong. And let me describe the physiology first. So when the heart beats, lub dub, lub dub, lub dub, it does so at a rate. And when you check your pulse, and let's call it 60 beats per minute, that's your heart rate. But it's not a single second for each beat over the term of that 60 seconds. It might take your heart 1.2 seconds to beat. Then the next beat might be 0.98 seconds. The next one after that, 0.84. That's variability. Now, perhaps even counterintuitively, the higher your variability, the more alpha and the more relaxed you are. So let's digest this. The more variable your heart beats, the more your brain feels or thinks that you're not in distress. What do we do when we're running? We develop that cadence purposely, and we develop that rhythmic breathing purposely, right? What does that do to heart rate variability? It reduces it, okay? I'm a huge fan of 10 and 1s. Like, get that 10-minute, you know, burst run in your training and then walk for a minute, because that'll naturally induce a better heart rate variability. So just keep that in mind, that a physical, you know, burst, endurance run is quite stressful to the body. How do we counteract that? The stuff you've already put together, the ironwort, the sun theanine, and the coffee extract. I mean, it's a brilliant formula. I mean, this is really just going to help people have that, you know, increased heart rate variability improve. The other way is concentrated, focused box breath. You've heard a lot about that. And of course, the vagus nerve stimulation through cold immersion.
You're awesome. You and I are so aligned. You just say it with a lot of really fancy, confusing words.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Spartan Up Podcast. Spartan Up is your partner in resilience for mind, body, and spirit. We're here 3 days every week. Tuesdays, you can find Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan, interviewing biohackers, business leaders, authors, and athletes. Thursdays and Saturdays, catch episodes from our DECA, Endurance, Trail, Combat, and La Ruta series. Do you know someone who needs a little nudge? Maybe they could use some motivation, tactics to be stronger, healthier, happier, more successful. Tell them about our show. And if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment. We want to know who's watching and who's listening. Thanks. See you next time.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Orgain, clean nutrition to help you stay healthy, active, and feeling your best. New subscribers save 30% at orgain.com/pages/Spartan.